May the Lord help us to commence our service this evening by singing hymn number 35. Number 35. Come, thou almighty King, help us thy name to sing. Help us to praise, Father all glorious, our all victorious. Come and reign over us, Ancient of Days. Hymn number 35.
Oh. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God, reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, and the first 19 verses of chapter 4. The book of Exodus, reading chapter 3, and the first 19 verses of chapter 4. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name for ever. This is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt, unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. They shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou, and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews have met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favour in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbour, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons, and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. And Moses answered and said, but, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee, instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said unto Moses, Go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. We'll leave the reading there. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help and teach us now to pray. Most holy Lord God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the one true living God, the God of Israel, the Almighty God, and yet the merciful God, who is a God like unto thee, that delighteth in mercy. O Lord, we would come before thee now, approach thy holy majesty, and may the place whereupon we are found be made holy ground, even this night, unable to meet together in thine earthly courts, we are found in our own homes. But, Lord, do make it a Bethel to our never-dying souls. This is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven. Do make it holy ground, Jesus, where'er thy people meet. There they behold thy mercy seat. Where'er they seek thee, thou art found. And every place is hallowed ground. Lord, then remember us in this. And again, we just think of the line of a hymn this afternoon, If Jesus be but there. Lord Jesus, do come to us, we pray, wherever we may be found. Come into our midst. Come into our hearts. Make room for thyself. There, Lord, we pray, come and rule and reign over us. Do come and bless us. Do come and favour us. Come and do us good. O Lord, we come to worship thee. O Lord, put us in that right worshipping frame. Oh, it may be there are many, many things around us to distract and to disturb. Lord, on this bank holiday, there's so much activity around. O Lord, do remember us, be round about us. Oh, bless us with that solemn, sacred frame. And we would draw nigh unto God. Lord, in thy mercy, draw nigh unto us. We come to thee. We come, Lord, as a company of sinners. Oh, to feel. Lord, thou knowest those who truly feel to be a sinner. Oh, indescribable. Oh, that guilt of sin, that godly sorrow, knowing something of the plague of our own hearts, something of what we are by nature, but I am carnal, sold under sin, proving that sin is mixed in all that we think, in all that we say, in all that we do, not only sins of commission, but also those sins of omission, and sadly those sins against light and knowledge. Truly our sins abound. Oh, what great sinners we are. Oh, Lord, we do seek grace to confess all of our sins unto thee, to truly make confession of our sins, to acknowledge our iniquities. And, oh Lord, to know something of that godly sorrow which worketh repentance unto salvation. And, oh, as sinners, to flee to him, the Saviour, who receiveth sinners. Oh, to flee to him who came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. Oh, to be taught and need of him to save us from all of our sins. And Lord, should there be any here this evening listening, yet unconcerned, indifferent, satisfied with a form of godliness, satisfied with a lamp to show that they think that they are Christians. Oh Lord, would it please thee to awaken and to quicken, to call by thy grace, or to send an arrow of conviction, that they might be taught the truth, that they are sinners, in need of mercy, in need of pardon, in need of forgiveness, in need of a Saviour, in need of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one and only Saviour, and all to be found seeking him, the one thing needful. Oh, seeking him, if haply we might find him, and be found in him, and washed from all of our sins in his precious and atoning blood, and clothed upon in his spotless robe of righteousness, accepted in the Beloved, complete in him, perfect in Christ Jesus. O Lord, may we not be left to presume. Oh, may we not be left to deceive ourselves and to deceive others. May we not be left to come short. Eternity is before us each. Heaven or hell. Oh, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Oh, grant to us, Lord, that good hope through grace, those evidences of being one of thy people. We pray for the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. And may thy Spirit bear witness with our spirits that we are of the children of God. Bless with that spirit of adoption, whereby we may cry, Abba, Father, my Father. Again, Lord, we dare not presume such a tremendous favour and blessing, but all to know that we are of thy children. O Lord, do speak to us as such, and assure us that we are thine. O Lord, do remember us, and remember those burdened, troubled souls, who long to believe, who feign to believe, and yet fear to presume, but long to be made sure. O Lord, with that great question concerning their soul's salvation might be put out of question. O say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Jesus, reveal thyself to me. O grant that glimpse of thy dear face, showing thyself through the lattice. O to look up to see no man save Jesus only. Make us right. Keep us right. Lord, as we must yet live our lives here upon this earth. Oh, to walk by faith and not by sight. To be found looking unto Jesus and casting all our care upon him. Committing our way unto him. And to follow him whithersoever he goeth. Oh, what a word it is. And he led them forth by the right way. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave a God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above, all that need to be kept. Lord, in these dark and evil days in which we live, oh, so many temptations, so many snares, so many dangers. Oh, Lord, how we need to be kept every step. Keep us from ourselves, our own hearts. Oh, keep us, Lord, from the ways of the world. To come out from among them and to be separate, to touch not the unclean thing. Oh, keep us from being influenced by the world and the ways of the world and the things of the world. Oh, Lord, are not thy people a separated people? This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. And oh, Lord, do keep us from every temptation. They are real, they are powerful, and we're no match to the tempter. But all to be kept in the hour of temptation. Keep us from falling, keep us from every false way, every false hope. Oh Lord, may we be kept by the power of God. That alone can keep us. Oh Lord, then do go before us in the unknown way. Unknown to us, we know not what a day may bring forth, but all known to thee. O Lord, thou knowest the right way. Thou knowest the best way. O, thou knowest the way for thy people. O, then, Lord, lead us forth, we beseech thee, and grant us much grace to follow thee whithersoever thou goest. We would lovingly remember each one listening this evening. Lord, thou knowest the way of each and every one, spiritual and providential. Attend to every case, supply every need, and bless each soul. Oh, Lord, do remember us each at this difficult time, both in our nation and throughout the whole world, a time of tremendous change. Oh, may our eyes be upon thee at such time to look up. To look up in this sense, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Oh, to look up, to trust in thee, and to commit all unto thee, and to be still and know that thou art God. Lord, remember any particular need, those in affliction, and sickness, weakness, infirmity, those who may be in bereavement, sadness and loss, any in trouble, trials, tribulations, those who feel cast down by the hardness of a way, those who are bowed down and can in no wise lift up themselves, those, Lord, very fearful, very concerned, those who are struggling, those who feel overwhelmed, those in fiery trials, those in deep waters, those who feel to be pressed out of measure, those who feel to reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Oh, Lord, as we sang this afternoon, do appear for each and every one. Oh, to have that sweet hope. The Lord will appear. Oh, the Lord will appear. Oh, Lord, do appear for thy people. Didst thou not appear for thy people in Egypt? Oh, what a deliverance. Oh, what a bringing forth. Lord, appear for those in need for thee to appear. Lord, remember the churches. We pray for the cause that sways thee, be with them and bless them. And other causes, Lord, who friends listening this night. Oh, remember Zion, the ways of Zion do mourn. Oh, it's a most difficult time. Hasten the day when we may yet gather together in thine earthly courts. Oh, Lord, we look to thee. And remember thy people throughout the whole earth, all who love and fear thy name, and those who suffer much for thy name's sake, persecution, imprisonment, deprivations, those who suffer from the enemies of the truth, those who are attacked and threatened. Oh, Lord, undertake for thy people, be that wall of fire round about them. And, oh, Lord, do remember both our nation and the nations of the earth at this time. Lord, rule and overrule. Oh, may our eyes ever be upon thee. He causeth it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. Thou alone art able to cause it to go. But until then, O grant us grace to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. O Lord, do remember us in this, we pray. Again, we would be thankful for all thy many mercies towards us. We have much to be thankful for, thy goodness and mercy following us all the days of our life. O Lord, we would render unto thee the benefits that thou dost bless us with. O Lord, we have so much to be thankful for, and we feel to come short in our thanksgiving. Now, Lord, remember us, we pray, and do help us as we would yet sing thy worthy praises, to sing with the heart and understanding. Help us as we turn to thy word, open it up to our understanding, and may thy voice be heard. Is there any word from the Lord, or may there be? And, O Lord, do grant thy blessing upon us, and go before us each in the unknown way, to guide us with thy counsel, and afterward to receive us to glory. We ask all, begging the pardon and forgiveness of our every sin, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
Let us continue by singing hymn 571. Behold with wondering eyes the servant of the Lord. On wings of love he flies, his counsels to unfold. He comes with truth and grace, and Zion shall behold his face. Hymn number 571.
the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help. I direct your prayerful attention this evening to the book of Exodus, chapter 4 and verse 12. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 12. Now, therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. The book of Exodus, chapter 4, and verse 12. Now, therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. I am very conscious that in the few years I've been conducting these anniversary services, there have been a number of occasions when within the text has been this word, go. I just remember too, on one occasion, the words of Rebecca, I will go. And how the Lord made her willing in the day of his power, that she must go, oh, to leave her family, to go with that servant, to go to be Isaac's wife. I will go. On another occasion, Moses and the children of Israel by the Red Sea speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, go forward. I'm not even convinced that I may not have preached in this word before that I must leave. I dare not look back. One thing I do feel sure of, I'm under the constraint of the Holy Spirit to preach from this word. May it be a word from the Lord. I do not know who's listening. The Lord does. If it is a word for one or another in any particular way, but really it's a word of instruction, it's a word of command. Now, therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Some of you may remember this afternoon we had that hymn, How Strange is the Course that a Christian Must Steer, How Perplexed is the Path he Must Tread. And again, his fairest pretensions must wholly be waived and his best resolutions be crossed. Well, what a way Moses was called to walk. 40 years nigh on, brought up in the court of Pharaoh's daughter, in that sense separated from his brethren, the children of Israel. Although I feel convinced that he himself knew that he was an Israelite, but outwardly it was seen that he was an Egyptian prince. All there the Lord had placed him, for he himself knew what he would do. Then about 40 years old, he takes matters into his own hand, and he sees an Egyptian smiting one of the children of Israel, his brethren, and how Moses goes and slays the Egyptian, thinking that no one saw him. The following day, he sees two of the children of Israel there in debate, and he goes to speak unto them, and one of them turned and said unto him, Who has made thee a judge over us? Wilt thou slay me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? And then Moses feared. Word had got out of what had happened, and he feared for Pharaoh, and he fled for his life. Oh, in many ways, when under the command of God, as Abram was, he went out, not knowing whither he went. But in that sense, he must go. He must flee. He dare not stay. If Pharaoh hear of it, he would have Moses slain. But it was all of the Lord, ruling and overruling. But as far as Moses was concerned, oh, he must go. It was of necessity. And I just draw a bow attention now, and perhaps there's a situation in your life, your circumstances, and you must go. You cannot stay where you are. Matters have taken a turn, and there is that in which you also, perhaps, we don't use the word flee, but you must go. And it may be like Abram, it may be like Moses here, but you must go, not knowing whither you go. Or looking unto Jesus, committing all unto him. Or the Lord who cared and provided for Abram, cared and provided for Moses, also will care and provide for you. Now, Moses, he went out not knowing whither he went. Now, whether at that time he had the grace of God in his heart, we must leave. But surely he was led by the Lord because he himself knew what he would do. And he was led to Midian. He was led there unto Jethro. There he would water the flock of the daughter's sheep. And it proved to be of the Lord. The matter proceeded from the Lord. And there Moses must remain for a time. And he may have thought, how long? Will it be for a few weeks, a few months, perhaps even a few years? Will it be for the rest of my life? Will this be my lot now as a shepherd, once a prince in Egypt, a man perhaps of some authority, some honour, but no longer now a humble shepherd in his far-off land. But all the while he himself knew what he would do. The Lord was in control, ruling and overruling. And I tend to believe it is in the next 40 years, and of course Moses did not know it would be 40 years. But in those 40 years, I believe the Lord was preparing him for the time that we both read together, when he must go, return back to Egypt, to bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt and unto the promised land. 40 years, a long time, Moses was being prepared and equipped. We perhaps may wonder what Moses may have passed through in those 40 years. We're not told. We're not told. But the Lord would be with him. And surely at that burning bush, he knew it was the Lord speaking to him. The Lord God Almighty, the God of his father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The one true living God, he who ruleth in the heavens above and ruleth upon the earth. Now, the time had come, God's appointed time. The children of Israel were suffering terribly in Egypt. They were under the taskmasters. They were being afflicted. They were in great distress. They were crying unto God. And still the Lord didn't come to deliver them. I'm sure he maintained them. I'm sure he helped them. I'm sure he would bless them. But still in that great affliction, they must continue. Oh, how they would have longed. And what prayers must have been put up for what we sung again this afternoon, for the Lord to appear. To believe the Lord will appear. Was it not the words of Joseph when he was a dying? The Lord will surely visit you and bring you up out of this land to take you into the promised land. The Lord will appear. But the Lord hadn't appeared, and their faith must have been greatly tried. But now in the chapters we read, the Lord did appear. The Lord appeared first unto Moses, second unto Aaron. And then those two men would go into Egypt and speak unto the children of Israel. I'll just read from verse 29. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. That was to come. Now, with Moses, all this sudden appearance of God, the burning bush, where the Lord spoke unto him, and how the Lord spoke unto him that that time had come when the children of Israel must be brought forth out of Egypt and unto the promised land. And Moses must be the man ordained of God to bring forth the children of Israel. Oh, how Moses felt overwhelmed with what lay before him. One thing it seems very, very clear. Dear Moses, he felt he couldn't go. Oh, he felt so insufficient, so inadequate. He felt so poor. 40 years ago, yes, he may have tried to take matters into his own hand. Oh, 40 years ago, yes, he may have felt that he was able. He could do this. He could do that. Or he'd been brought up there in that palace, and or perhaps he had various things to make him self-confident and whatever else. But now all of that is gone. It's all gone. And Moses felt it. Oh, he felt it keenly. And he seems to bring forth every reason why he could not go. But the Lord will have his way. Now, therefore, go. Moses must go. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Again, I was rather struck in a opening hymn this evening, just turning to it now. And did you really prayerfully consider what you were singing? Come and reign over us. Come and reign over us. Yes, again, come, Holy Comforter, thy sacred witness bear in this glad air, thou who almighty art, now rule in every heart, and ere from us depart, Spirit of power. Oh, do we desire for the Lord to reign over us, servants ye are to whom ye obey. Now, we're either the servants of God or the servants of Satan, one or the other. A man by nature, with such a wicked, evil heart, would rather be a servant of Satan. But when the Lord calls his people by his almighty, irresistible grace, then they become servants of God. They serve him. They desire to know and to do his will. When we think of Saul of Tarsus and that prayer, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the dear psalmist also in his prayer, teach me to do thy will. Rule over me. Oh, would we be found with those who desire from the heart to serve God, to serve him, to obey him, to obey his will, his ways, his commands, his precepts, his word, to be willing in the day of his power. Now, therefore, go. So there is an exercise, or there is that matter which perhaps the Lord has laid upon you in one way or another. It may be something set before you, something which you are passing through. And I do believe that where the Lord will have his people go, or they come to this where they feel to be so inadequate, so insufficient. Because when the Lord will have his people go at his bidding, then they must go but in dependence upon him. We're living in such times when there's such a stress upon being self-confident, being able, being skilled and whatever. And where it's all of the flesh, it's all of man. Now, the Lord doesn't teach his people that way. They must learn to be dependent upon him. I tried to speak recently from those two texts. One of them, the words of the Lord Jesus, without me, ye can do nothing. If our religion is real, if it is of God, that is a lesson we must learn. And it may be a very, very painful lesson to learn, but we must learn it. The Lord will teach his people, without me, ye can do nothing. But then also that word, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Or only as the Lord strengthens, only as the Lord enables, that I can do all things, that all the honour and all the glory might be of God. Now, therefore, go. I don't know if anyone desired a word from the Lord. And perhaps you feared such a word. Or what is before you, you fear, tremble and quake. Or you feel your insufficiency. Or you feel to be so inadequate. You feel to be so poor and needy. And perhaps like Moses, you've been bringing forth all these arguments why you cannot go. I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. It may not be this in a literal sense, it may be other things. You bring forth those arguments before God why you cannot go. But if the Lord is bidding you go, dear friend, you must go. Oh, you must go. The Lord make you willing. Now, therefore, go. But also there is this promise, wonderful promise. And I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Now, if it concerns any certain exercise wherein you must speak, and the Lord alone knows your exercise, knows your burden, knows your prayerful concern, then what a wonderful promise we have here. And I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Perhaps it's a great fear. I can't go because I don't know what I shall say. I fear that I shall be brought as one full of embarrassment and confusion. And yet this promise, I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Now, should the Lord be pleased to apply that promise upon you, then the Lord enable you to go, leaning hard upon his word. But Lord, thou hast said, Lord, thou hast spoken. Lord, I have this word, this promise. And the Lord is faithful to his promises. But the Lord will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Oh, at such a time of need, the Lord, he is faithful. God is faithful. Hath he not said, shall he not do it? And the Lord is able to open the mouth, to loose the tongue, or to cause that soul to speak, to speak. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. What has the Lord done for our souls? Many perhaps can talk religion. They can talk about the Bible. They can talk about the doctrines of free and sovereign grace. They can argue a point. Or they can talk about being Calvinistic They can talk about all sorts of things in religion. But what can we speak of what the Lord has done for our never dying souls? A great mercy if we can speak a little of a humble hope. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Oh, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Well, perhaps you feel that your experience, just to use this terminology, is not clear-cut. Perhaps you feel to lack that depth of experience or clarity of experience which others have had. And you feel troubled. You feel troubled of opening your mouth, lest you should be a deceiver, making out something that you fear that you may not be. Or there is that great fear and how it can close a mouth, how it can keep people back, all people. Like Moses here, he feared that if he should return unto Egypt, the people would not believe him. Well, some of the Lord's people, they fear that in their little experience, people won't believe them. At times, they even wonder themselves, am I made a real Christian? Is my religion of the Holy Ghost? Have I truly been quickened by his Spirit? Oh, may the Lord help us to remember his gracious dealings. Although that I am not what I would be, nor am I what I should be, nor am I what I desire to be, I thank God that I am not what I once was. Now, therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. It is a great thing for anyone to make an open profession of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, declaring whose they are and whom they serve. I know it's been a great stumbling block to many a troubled soul, where they have seen those who have made an open profession of faith only to continue in such a way to make a disgrace of that open profession of faith. Or there have been those who have turned back. There have been those who have gone into more lighter religions, more lighter things. Oh, there have been those who have made an utter disgrace of themselves. And that has been such a great stumbling block. Oh, perhaps it's better if I just remain quiet, sitting quietly, as it were, at the back, as it were, just carrying on in my little humble way. But you see, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You see, we need that much grace. Oh, to keep his commandments, to follow him, to seek to honour and glorify God. Well, perhaps one another is longing, oh, for some clear word from the Lord. You dare not go. You dare not go feeling presumptuous. You dare not go. You just need that confirmation. My mind has gone to Gideon. Now, with Gideon, what the Lord had exercised his heart with was a tremendous thing, to be instrumental in delivering the children of Israel from the Midianites at that time. And the Midianites were a great people, and they oppressed the children of Israel. And not one of the bravest, strongest men of the children of Israel would dare rise up against the Midianites. And when the Lord spoke unto Gideon, the Lord had appointed him to be instrumental in delivering the children of Israel from the Midianites. And again, O Gideon, I am least in my father's house. And again, he felt so insufficient. Who am I? Who am I? But he must yet go. Now, therefore, go. and what lay before him was such a tremendous thing, he feared and he quaked. Oh, what he longed for really was a word spoken by the Lord to Moses, "Certainly I will be with thee." And it was such a tremendous matter that we read of that fleece. And he made that prayer. Oh, how he trembled when he made that prayer. That if the Lord should do that miracle that night, wherein the fleece might be wet and the drowned cry, he might have that evidence, or that the Lord would be with him. And so it was. And what a sight it must have been to Gideon, as perhaps he held that fleece and it was wet, and all around the ground was dry. But even then, he still trembled, he still feared. Oh, he begged of God to grant a second evidence. Oh, that the fleece of the ground might be altered, that this time the fleece might be dry and the ground all around wet. Oh, he feared to ask God a second time. Would the Lord be angry with him for asking a second time? The Lord did as he requested a second time. And so it was. Well, Gideon now proved it was of the Lord. And now he must go. Now, therefore, go. Now, it may be that some of you desire a first or even perhaps a second evidence. You long to know it is of the Lord. You fear to take any step lest it should not be of the Lord. Oh, may the Lord ever keep us from taking a wrong step. May the Lord ever keep us from leaning upon our own understanding. May the Lord ever keep us from seeking to glory in the flesh. And should the Lord grant you that evidence, well, may the Lord also help you to go. Now, therefore, go. Go. It may be the time has come. It may be the exercise has been long. And like Moses, for with him the 40 years, perhaps with you it may be years. The exercise has been long, and you feared to go, lest it be not of the Lord. But now has the Lord appeared? Has the Lord granted you such an evidence? Or has the Lord shown you what you must do? I did again notice those words in verse 15. And thou shalt speak unto him, it is Aaron, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And will teach you what ye shall do. Now, therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Now, it may be something else, perhaps. And again, suppose in this sense, I'm favoured that I do not know who is listening. And I certainly do not know your pathway, your exercises, your circumstances. It may be so, as we read in the Revelation, I have set before thee an open door. And perhaps over time you have had many, many closed doors. And this has greatly troubled you and perplexed you. You've looked to the Lord to make a way, to open a door for you, but there seems to be no door open until now. And perhaps suddenly, even unexpectedly, a door has opened and you want to know it is of the Lord. Just think of the Apostle Paul and those who were with him at that time. We read of in Acts chapter 16. You see there, the Lord's ways are not our ways, neither his thoughts our thoughts. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach a word in Asia, that was a closed door. After that, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Another closed door. And perhaps they were perplexed. Perhaps they were confused, troubled. Well, where will the Lord have us to go? And after passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And when he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavoured to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach a gospel unto them. The Lord made it plain. The Lord made it so plain where they were to go. Now, it may be, perhaps, I do not know, the Lord has made it plain. That open door. Oh, and you perceive a matter proceedeth from the Lord. Now, therefore, go. The time has come. Oh, dear soul, the time has come that you must go. You must venture. Looking to him, trusting in him. Oh, what a word, if the Lord should be pleased to apply. Certainly, I will be worthy. What was it not later, when Moses was brought to pray that prayer? If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Oh, whenever we must go, wherever we must go, that prayer, that prayer. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. But certainly I will be with thee. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Now, therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Just looking at it in a different way, that the Lord will teach his people to pray and grant to them that true spirit of prayer. Oh, you see, at times prayer is no easy thing. At times it can be a very hard thing to pray with a guilty conscience or with a hard heart, full of unbelief and doubts and fears, misgivings. Oh, to come before the Almighty God, a poor, guilty, a sinner, a worthless worm, not worthy of the very least of the mercies and truth of God. How can I go? How can I go? But the Lord, he will draw his people unto himself. Or it may be that we hardly know what to say. Now, therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. I think one of the most wonderful things concerning prayer is that when we come before God, it isn't necessary that we should be eloquent. It isn't necessary that our speech must be grammatically correct. Oh, it's not necessary that we need to bring before the Lord all things in which we would present before man. Or it may be that we feel to be slow of speech and of a slow tongue. We hardly know what to say. Now therefore go. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart and knoweth the mind of the Spirit maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. According to the will of God. Oh, to pray according to the will of God. Now, therefore, go. Because I can assure you this, and it rather struck me in reading how the Lord had forewarned Moses that Pharaoh, he will not let you go. And Satan, the world, and the old man of sin will not let you go to the throne of grace. They will turn you aside. They will prevent you. And like the hymn writer proved, and many a child of God proves, all the Lord's people prove, what various hindrances we meet. in coming to thy mercy seat. Yet he who knows the worth of prayer will often seek to be found there. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say, for all real prayer is indited by the Holy Ghost. All real prayer is given by God, but may the Lord help and teach us to pray, or helping our infirmities, for they are many, teaching us to pray aright, to his honour and to his glory. Now, therefore, go. The Lord will have his people go and go on to continue to run with patience the race that is set before us, but ever looking unto Jesus and committing all unto him. And so it is with all the Lord's people throughout Scripture. Each one of them must be made willing in the day of his power. Each one of them must learn obedience. Oh, may the Lord grant us that grace of obedience to him, his will, his way. In obedience there is submission. In obedience there is resignation. Oh, in obedience there is humility. And again, if we would be found amongst his sheep, the Lord himself to be our shepherd, then when the shepherd leads the flock forth, we must go, we must follow. And so it was for the children of Israel, the Lord led them forth by the right way. They had that cloudy pillar by day, the fiery pillar by night. By that, the Lord would lead them. And we know that at times the pillar, it stayed. And as long as it stayed, the children of Israel also were to stay, whether it be hours, days, weeks, months, or even years, but they were to stay. But it didn't always stay. There were times when it moved. And as soon as it moved, and wherever it moved, in whichever way, the children of Israel were to go. Now, therefore, go. We also read in Deuteronomy, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them upon her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. Now, I believe a teaching there is that times the Lord's people, they may settle upon their lees, they may settle down, perhaps in a certain place, a certain situation. And then the Lord comes as that mother eagle and begins to stir up the nest. It is believed that in that nest of the eagle, at the very bottom, there may have been branches and stones and thorns and the like, and then overlaid on the top with softer materials, so when the eggs hatch, the eaglets come forth, then everything is soft and comfortable, and that stays for a time. But when it is time for them to fledge, when it is time for them to leave a nest, then the mother eagle begins to stir up that nest. And by, that nest becomes more and more uncomfortable, perhaps even to the point where it comes nigh on impossible to remain there. And she taketh them and beareth them upon her. So the Lord alone did lead him. Well, again, it may be that the Lord is stirring up your nest. Oh, I do hope and pray that the Lord is stirring up the nest in our hearts, for here we have no continuing city to come out from among them, to be separate, to leave this world's deceitful shore, to leave it to return no more. Oh, may the Lord be stirring up our nest, emptying us from vessel to vessel. Oh, teaching us to depart, for this is not our rest, to come forth out of Egypt, to be found on pilgrimage unto the heavenly Canaan. It may be in our circumstances that the Lord also is stirring up our nest, and things have become, perhaps gradually, suddenly, very uncomfortable. Things are not as they were. there's a stirring up, and the hand of the Lord is in it. And oh, where there's gracious discernment, you would discern the hand of the Lord. And there is that waiting upon him. You see how the Lord prepares the hearts of his people. Oh, how reluctant those little eaglets would have been if everything was very soft and comfortable in the nest, but now it is not so. And I'm sure there is that desire also to fledge. I feel rather struck by those words, and taketh them and beareth them upon her wings. And again, just, I see time is nearly gone. I just think of that time when the Lord Jesus constrained his disciples into that ship to go over the other side before him. He constrained them. So if we can just join the two together, the stirring up of the nest and the constraining. Maybe the Lord is stirring up your nest. The Lord is constraining you. And like those disciples, there is that reluctance. There is that great fear. They may have had their reasons for it. But he constrained them. And they were made willing. And they must obey. And they launched forth. Now, therefore, go. Now, therefore, go. The time has come. I feel burdened just to speak a word of warning. Sadly, at times, the Lord's people are disobedient, hard-hearted. They perhaps refuse to go. They can be rather stubborn and stiff-necked, determined to have their way, determined to continue just as they are. My dear soul, I must be faithful. If you're a child of God and the Lord is constraining you to go and you're being rebellious, you're being hard-hearted, you're refusing, dear soul, you're going to call for that rod to come down upon you. Some people do not believe the Lord is angry with his people. What does verse 14 say? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Do you really want the anger of the Lord to be kindled against you through your rebellion and hard-heartedness? Oh, may the Lord grant you grace, submission, resignation. May the Lord grant you faith. Oh, may the Lord grant you that gracious obedience, not my will, but thine be done. Now, therefore, go. And I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Amen.
Any collections received today are for our Needy Cases Fund. Let us now close with hymn 184. Our fullness resides in Jesus our head, and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. Hymn 184.
the grace of the Saviour, and the love of the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.